Thank you for spending another midweek moment with the Wisconsin Property Taxpayers. I'm Paul Roseski. Today is Wednesday, October 24th, 2025. Thank you for checking in. Before we look at some headlines, let's look to the week ahead. I'm going to challenge you. Consider channeling your inner child and celebrating National Chocolate Milk Day. Happens on Saturday. And because I just checked, I'll give you a heads up, the fall colors in our most northern counties are anywhere from 25 to 40% of peak color. So please, however you celebrate, celebrate responsibly. In this episode, we look at which big problems lawmakers have been focused on over the summer and what some of the ideas are that they're going to use to address issues and improve things for the citizens of Wisconsin, for the state as a whole. So, let's jump into some news together. Starting off, like I hinted at, lawmakers were busy over the summer, and all of their work that they put in behind the scenes is now hitting the prime time now. And the result isn't just bills that they're introducing, it's whole packages of bills. They've put together a series of bills that are going to do a bunch of individual things to accomplish something big. There are quite a few packages of bills right now that have been introduced, and some of them actually have been weeks, some months, some years in the making. One package of bills was introduced to address housing, improving and streamlining some of the guidelines, approvals, and restrictions on new housing to help increase supply and directly and indirectly reduce costs because housing is a really tight market. One package of bills, another different package, is focused on workers' rights. There's a whole list of things, including proposing to eliminate right to work, restoring prevailing wage, and a whole bunch more. A different package of bills is focused on education. I know I've hinted at some of the bills in the past. They're focused on curriculum, security, teachers' rights, different financials, where the money needs to go, all that kind of stuff. And as you might imagine, both sides of the aisle are introducing proposals on school finances. We'll wait to see where all this flushes out, where the funds should be focused, the guidelines for referenda, if they should be restricted or not, where there should be funding increases, etc., etc., etc. As a reminder, all these packages, they still need to be referred to a committee. There need to be hearings and testimony. There might be things that are tweaked. So it's going to be an ongoing process. In other news, I thought that this bill package on voting reforms deserved its own update right here because it's pretty fascinating. This package was announced at a bipartisan press conference that was pretty unique. The first lawmaker that spoke was Representative Krug. He worked on a lot of this stuff and voting reforms last session. All you members, you might remember he had an enormous article in our newsletter, The Freehold, talking about all the different things that they could potentially do. Well, he's addressing another whole bunch of topics, including Monday processing for absentee ballots, ballot boxes, all the security measures that need to go into that, in-person absentee voting, election security grants, the list even goes on from there. What got interesting is when the Democrat lawmaker came up next and gave her remarks. She opened by saying that this joint press conference was done purposely to show that we can coexist and we can communicate even when we don't agree. Representative Snodgrass went on to say that she does not support any of the bills being offered by the Republicans, but that together they wanted to be an example of how civil discourse and debate can exist and that they've worked together in the past and will continue to do so in the future. That one I didn't see coming. I thought it was kind of funny. So, tip of the hat to them. She proceeded to talk about the Democrat package of bills requiring elected officials to serve as an election official at the polls in an election that they are not running in. She wanted to give all the lawmakers that seem to have a lot of opinions on whether or not our elections are safe and reliable, that they could actually see it firsthand because most of them hadn't. That was also something interesting. There's a bill on disability access, training on accessibility for poll workers, high schooler voting registration, and the security of election workers, whole bunch of stuff there. Notably, multiple bills in the Democrat package are standalone items of changes that are in the larger Republican omnibus bill that just clusters them all together, and that Representative Krug is a co-author on three of the Democrat bills. So there's a lot to unpack there. It was interesting post-Charlie Kirk world that we're living in at the moment. In other news, let's jump to the Northwoods for another bill package. This proposal is a list of bills that are targeted towards the logging and the lumber economy, because as the number of paper mills have decreased and shut down in Wisconsin, there's been less demand for lumber products called woody biomass. It's the wood chips and some of the other byproducts of the logging industry. This bill would provide some incentives to encourage private industry to take over a paper mill in Hayward that has sat vacant for the past 5 years. The proposal would incentivize taking this site and creating a plant that would use the woody biomass to make aviation fuel. It is essentially the state offering about $210 million of incentives to try and attract about $1.5 billion in private industry investment into jobs in the economy and using this product of the lumber industry. Spoiler alert here, WPT members, check into the Weekly Insider next week to chime in on the membership poll to voice your opinion on whether this would be good government spending or bad government spending. Should we open this offer maybe to more than just one specific location in Hayward? Is this a good idea at all? We look forward to hearing from our members on this one. In other news, here's an update, actually two updates rolled into one, and it starts with something I've always had an issue with. It's when a city or a town has a proposed wheel tax. It always kind of frosted me when that term was used because it's proposed, but there's typically nothing to keep it from being implemented. Don't make it sound like you're just floating an idea for consideration because it typically gets shoved into place whether people like it or not. Well, on that note, someone paid attention to the financial numbers that the city of Milwaukee puts out, crunched some numbers on the sales tax increase that Milwaukee was able to implement thanks to a state-level bill in 2013 that gave Milwaukee some special treatment and allowed it to have a sales tax to get its financial house in order because they were on the path to insolvency and bankruptcy. Well, based on the spending increases and the amount of additional sales tax revenue that came in, the city of Milwaukee spent somewhere between 90 and 99% of the sales taxes that came in on two things. First, towards their underfunded pension program, which was the main goal of this in the first place, to get that to be less of a train wreck. But 70 to 76% of that extra money that came in went to pay raises for the mayor himself, for city council members, and a whole bunch of people, which will cause every future budget to be that much more challenging and pensions to be that much more of a burden on the city. And actually, of note, the folks that got the least amount of pay increase was police officers. Fire departments got a little bit more. All the city employees got a little bit more. The police officers got the smallest percentage of them all. Anyway, I digress. This is a reminder to everyone that approves referenda to increase taxes, whether it's property taxes there, or if you increase sales taxes or wheel taxes, whatever, take stock of where the money goes. And on that note, getting back to wheel taxes, there's a bill that's been introduced that would require any wheel tax to be approved by ballot referendum before it could take effect, which would be great because, in hindsight, I have both a city and a county wheel tax on my vehicle registration. I'm sure it wouldn't be retroactive, but I'm sure my burden's here to stay, but maybe everyone else that doesn't have one, there might be a light at the end of the tunnel. And finally, and in honor of our last story, I give you a quote from Founding Father Samuel Adams, who said, and I quote, "If taxes are laid upon us in any shape, without ever having a legal representative where they are laid, are we not reduced from the character of free subjects to the miserable state of tributary slaves?" Have a great second half of your week, and as always, thanks for listening. Wisconsin Property Taxpayers, Inc. is a nonpartisan membership organization consisting of thousands of small business, farm, and homeowner members in every autumn color-loving corner of the state. Founded in 1985, the organization is committed to providing its members with up-to-date information, legislative advocacy, and exclusive cost-saving benefits. Find out how to join at wptonline.org/join.